So we have been talking about being overwhelmed. I tell you what, life can really take off on you sometimes. Life can bring some curveballs to you. And you know, all of us could probably get up here and give a testimony or share their life, because everybody has shoes that they wear. And unless you wear another man's shoe, you really will never fully understand the pressures and the overwhelmed feelings that come to that person unless you do exactly what they do. But we're so varied in what we do and how we live and what the pressures that we have that we can most of the time just sympathize with one another, but we really don't know deep down every man's shoe or every woman's shoes that they're walking in. So, but Jesus does know that. Now, if you're a parent, it seems like, or a grandparent, or a student, there's so much in life that presses on you. You know, there's baseball practice. We got to get our kids to baseball practice. There's soccer practice. There's swim lessons. There's play practices, dance classes, piano lessons. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and there's so much pressure in our society to get our kids involved in everything under the sun because we don't want them to miss out on anything. There's been times that in our own household, I have young kids still, and Catherine's going here to do this, and I'm going here to do that, and we're trying to make it all work. We finally get home, and we look at each other like, what's for dinner? Oh, we forgot about dinner. I see a few smiles, and maybe I'm the only one that forgot. And it's like, what are we eating? I said, there's a refrigerator right over there, kids. Get over there and find something. I don't want to eat the same thing. Just get over there and you'll go hungry. There's a refrigerator over there. So I've been in those moments. You know, there's a house to take care of. There's an apartment to take care of. There's cars to take care of. The other day I was, we had a break and I was at, and I had all this yard work to do. This time of year, you know, I have a house and I have all this yard work. And the kids had spring break. So I go in, I'm getting ready to go outside to work on the yard, and I sit there thinking, wait a minute. I yell up to my kid, hey, if I have to go out and work in the yard, you have to go out and work in the yard. That's right. I said, I'm too old. I gotta pass the buck a little bit on this stuff. You're going to go out there and pick those weeds in that garden, in that bush. Just get out there and do it. And always, there's always one in the crowd that goes, just relax, Daddy. I'm getting my shoes on. Why are you getting so upset? I'm not getting upset. I'm just making sure you know that I expect you out there as fast as you can get out there. I even took Max and put him on. My Max was 10 years old, and I put him on a riding lawnmower to see if his legs would reach. And I did it when Catherine wasn't at home because I knew she wouldn't approve. So I put him in the seat. And his legs weren't long enough, and he didn't have enough weight, and had to have a safety feature on a ride a little more. If you're sitting down, you get off the seat, then it won't run. So I was trying to think, if I put a cinder block there on him, if he leans up enough to get his feet on it. And then the thought just came to me, he's just not ready, Eddie. Just let it. And then you know your wife is going to be all over you if you put a cinder block in that seat and you try to do something on that. But I thought, no harm, no foul. It was a good shot, a good try. To try to delegate some of this responsibility. But we have rent to pay. We have house payments. We got bills to pay. Stop. I'm going to give you some encouragement at the end here. Just hang in here. This is just reality of life. Then there's sleep deprivation. Oh, how do you live with that? I guess I'm speaking to the right crowd here today, right? I mean, you ever wake up at 2:30 in the morning and you got a busy day the next day and you can't go back to sleep? Oh, I tell you what. And the bad thing about it is I wake up at 2:30, then I get mad that I can't go back to sleep, which makes it even worse. Then I'm up all night because I got so mad. Then I start thinking, who can I blame for this? It's the ice maker. I heard it go off in the kitchen. The kids rolled over and bumped the wall. It was that dog next door that was barking. I got to talk to that neighbor about that dog. Then you get up and you had to take three forms of caffeine to get you moving. You had to drink two cups of coffee, you had to drink sweet tea, and then get your energy drink on top of that, just to get you where you can function after that night. This is life, isn't it? This is life in America. You know, they did a survey, Gallup poll, and Americans rank as some of the most stressed out people in the world. And you would think, since we have all this stuff and have one of the highest standards of living in the world, that we wouldn't be stressed out. But we are. It says here that 55% of adults said they had experienced stress during a lot of a day prior, compared with just 35% globally. Puts us on track with Greece. Now, I don't know what Greece's problems are. I know what ours is. You know, something that varies sometimes what causes the stress. It could be a variety of factors, job-related, economic, physical challenges, politics. If you want to be stressed out all the time, watch the news every night, people. Yeah. Just watch both channels, any channels, and you're going to be stressed out all the time. You're going to be overwhelmed with life. I have had moments of being overwhelmed. And let me tell you, it's just a part of life. I've learned that sometimes we just have to live with. Yeah. But how do we deal with that? How do you deal with this in life if that's what we have to face in life? What I want to do this morning is I want to look at a story from 10 lepers in the book of Luke. And I want us to read the passage together. Then I want to go back and look at it in a more in-depth manner, examining their situation as lepers and their interaction with Jesus. So let me read this as we get into this, sir. This is Luke chapter 17. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, that you're with us. Thank you, Jesus. I pray as we study your word together this morning that you would anoint this time, that you would give me the words to say so that we can learn today and walk out of here in a more victorious manner. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Or literally, your faith has saved you. Now, leprosy is a terrible disease. So back in those days, leprosy really meant a many multitude of different skin diseases that you had. But if you had the literal leprosy, it's a very contagious disease that basically affects your skin, your mucous membranes, your nerves, causes discoloration, lumps on your skin, in severe cases, disfigurement, deformities. So because of this, the extent of this, the Bible, you had to have quarantine. They were quarantining them in the Bible because they didn't have any way to heal them unless God supernaturally did it. So they had to live outside the camp, or they had to live outside the city, separated from their families, separated from the people that they love. And it was one of the most dreaded things to have in those days, this kind of a disease. And I would say they were pretty overwhelmed. I mean, when they would see people, they would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," and could not go close to people. That was what was required by the law for them to do. They were emotionally spent. As I mentioned, separated from their family. They had physical issues they couldn't heal. I can only imagine economically the kind of pain they were in, their families, especially if they were the husband, the dad. They couldn't work. Their families probably went through severe economic challenges. I tell you what, I think they were overwhelmed. Every day they had to believe just to eat. They couldn't earn any money. They had to rely upon the good nature of other people. The family was taking food to them. So I can only imagine the kind of overwhelmed feeling if we were in that situation. The only people we could be around is other people who were sick like that. These people were overwhelmed. These guys in this story, 10 lepers, were completely overwhelmed. But let's look at the interaction that they had. You know, that these ostracized men had with Jesus. Now in verse 13 it says, "And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" They yelled out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, so my number one point is, they reached out to Jesus and they asked for mercy. They reached out to Jesus. Now, Eddie, what's this got to do with anything? You know, self-sufficiency on some level is okay. I'm not saying self-sufficiency in and of itself is bad. But God doesn't want us to be self-sufficient. He wants us to depend upon Him. So when we're overwhelmed, He wants us to do just as these lepers did and said, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me." And when we do that, Jesus is faithful to us in the midst of it all, because life doesn't stop. Life keeps on going. But He wants us to cry out to Him. There's a dependency that you can have on Jesus, which is not a negative thing. Sometimes we want to be prideful. "I can handle all this. I got this." Especially some guys are so prideful. I don't need some crutch. But the thing is, you can try to do it by yourself, but Jesus says He wants to be there with us. He wants to answer us when we call. He wants to answer us. It says here in 2 Corinthians 12, He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." When we're overwhelmed and we're stressed out and life seems to be taking over and running us down, I'm not feeling strong at that moment, are you? I'm not feeling like I can handle this. But the first thing that these lepers did is they called out to Jesus. It's okay. Call out to Jesus. He wants us to reach out to Him, to call out to Him. Verse 14. "When He saw them, He said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priest.' And as they were going, they were healed." There's several things in verse 14 I find very interesting here. The first one is there was an obedience factor to Jesus. In other words, He said, "Go." Now, if it had been me, I'd have been like, "Jesus, shouldn't you like come over here and touch me? Shouldn't there be some kind of amazing miracle, some dramatic thing? Look, there's this guy over here, and you took mud, spit in it, rubbed it up, and he rubbed it on his eyes. Don't you want to do something like that just to make this really cool and make this a real exciting moment?" Or how about the time He spit on His finger and He took His finger and touched the tongue of the mute person and He started speaking? What about that? Or what about the time He said, "Guys, stand up and pick up your bed"? Or He was by the pool of Bethesda, right? Dramatic here in front of all these people. Why didn't He do that? I'd have been like, "Lord, I think You need to do something phenomenal here. I think You need to do something that's going to really, you know, make me look good and make you look good." But He didn't do that. He didn't even come approach Him. He said, "Go to the priest." So it took some faith on their part to say, "Wow." He said, "Go to the priest." So there's some obedience factors. Sometimes in our lives, we need to evaluate our schedules. We need to evaluate our lives. What are we doing that's overwhelming us? Do we have to have our kids in every event that takes place in Greenville? Are they going to be stunted for the rest of their life if they miss one practice or one game or one lesson? I'm meddling now. I know we're all the parents out here. But I'm a parent, so I can talk to you. I've got a kid. Do you have to do everything all the time? Sometimes, Jesus, you need to be obedient when the Lord puts his finger in and says, that's not really necessary right now. Are your motives wrong for doing this? Is it keeping up with the Joneses? Is it, you know, what is it there? So there's a time of obedience that we need to listen as a Christian and let Jesus direct our lives. So he spoke to those lepers and said, go. And on their way, they were healed. Another thing that sticks out to me, verse 14, again, it says, and as they were going, they were cleansed. They were cleansed as they went. I'm not saying you need to sell everything you have and go to the Caribbean and get you a house in the Caribbean. You see those commercials about buy a bay lease today. And nobody seen those commercials about buy a bay lease and come down here and you can have all this stuff and no stress and no anxiety. If you need to get hooked up about the Caribbean, I'm sure Devon's mom could help us. And your mom from Caribbean, I'm sure she could point us to where we need to go for that. But you have a free will to decide if you're going to be obedient. Are you going to trust in them? It says, as they were going. So I'm not saying stop life. But as you're going, you call out to him. As you're going, you believe God for him. As you're going, you reach out to him. And he's there with you because you can't stop everything. You've got to go to work. Kids got to go to school. Life is busy. Life is full. But you can't quit. Another thing in verse 14, it says, go and show yourself to the priest. This is very interesting to me. He sent him to church. Jesus had all authority in heaven and earth that's been given unto him. He could have just said, be healed and go. He didn't have to send him to the priest. Well, we know that historically speaking, part of their process was to go to the priest so he can declare you clean so you can get back to your normal life. So I know there were social and cultural things that Jesus was doing here. But Jesus many times superseded those cultural things and just took care of it himself. But at this moment, he sent him to the priest so they could get back in the synagogue. So they were even pushed out of worship, pushed out of the synagogue, could not be a part of what was happening in the religious worship. So he wanted to bring them back to their life. It seems to me, now, don't be mad at me for saying this, what I'm about to say, okay? Seems to me that some people are so quick to give up church over everything else. If I'm overwhelmed, church is the one thing that can go. If you're a parent, your children see what you prioritize. Yes, they do. And they're watching every move you make. And if they see that your priorities are otherwise, they're going to take note of it and it's going to be what's in them. When you come together and you're overwhelmed, that's when you need church more than ever. When you're struggling, how many times have we been to meetings? I have. I didn't want to go. I was tired. And I didn't want to go to the prayer or to the Bible study. But man, as soon as I got in there, something happened. I changed. Something began to stir in me. And I walked away going, man, that was worth every penny. That was worth it. It's like as they were going, God healed. It's like as you're driving to the church or you're driving to your small group or you're driving there and you get out and you walk in, ooh, the healing begins. I don't even understand it all. I just know that something supernatural happens when you're in church, when you're around other Christians. When you're overwhelmed and stressed out, you need other people. You need godly Christians who you can be around and who can help you. And just lift you up out of the muck and mire. Let me tell you something. A few minutes in the presence of God in a corporate worship service will do more in your life than 20 hours of sitting around worrying and trying to figure it out. Just a few minutes in the presence of God in a corporate body is going to change your life more than 20 hours of sitting around worried about something all the time. Stressing out about it. Gee, there's power. In the name of Jesus, lack of public worship will weaken your faith. It will weaken your faith. Now, this summer, as we're all out and about, don't forget to watch our live stream. You know, my hat's off to BJ and his team. They have done amazing stuff with our live stream. Luis, cameras, work they have done to give you a quality live stream event. So if you're sick or you're out of town, you can watch it. But you need to get the word in you every week. You need to be a part of what God is doing. It's strengthening you, encouraging you, gives you courage to face tomorrow. But oh, him, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Come on. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. You probably know every word of that song, don't you? My wife knows every word of that song. That's back to my Baptist days. Gives the courage to face tomorrow. It gives us courage to face tomorrow. You need the fellowship of the believers. You need God in your life. You need other people around you who can encourage you, who can build you up, who can get you through the pressures, the overcoming pressures of life. Don't isolate yourself by yourself. Sit in your car and cry. Come on in here and go or get with some other godly people in your life groups and let him change your life. Let him build you up. Let him strengthen you. Let him do what he needs to do in your life to get you over and make you victorious in your life. And let us consider how to stimulate one to another to have and love and good deeds. Not forsaking our assembling together as the habit of some, but encourage one another. It's all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you're overwhelmed and stressed, you need to go to church. You need to get around some Christians. That'll help you more than anything else. It's going to help you more than the Cold Stone ice cream. It's going to help you more than the sports you watched. It's going to help you more than the cheeseburger or the sweet tea or whatever. Now, all that's good now. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying is, but Jesus is what you need. Yes. Then here in verse 14, 15 and 16. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. He was thankful. Number 5 is he was thankful to Jesus for his life. In the midst of the overwhelmed thing, we need to have thankfulness. That as I reach out to Jesus, he's going to meet me there. That we can thank him for what he has done and thank him for what he's going to do. This leper came back and he gave glory to God. And he thanked him because if you're overwhelmed today, I believe God's going to deliver you. That he's going to help you get through it. And he's going to give you what you need to make sure that you get over it. You know, I'll never forget, I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind, how stressed out she was at our wedding. Every bride is just stressed out. But even then, I was the one that was stressed out. But anyway, we'll go on about that. But Jesus, in the middle of all your struggle, in the middle of everything you're going through, I've said that because I saw Taylor back there. You're getting married real soon. I thought about you. That you're stressed, right? Anyway, I could see it on you all the way from up here. I didn't even have to guess. That's why I brought up that. You inspired me right here in the middle of this sermon. Thank you. But Jesus is going to help you with your overwhelmed feelings. He's going to help you with it. And your fiance needs to encourage you anyway. Anyway, let's move on with that. I'm sorry calling y'all out today. And in verse 19, he said to them, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. He had faith to believe and trust. Now, when Jesus said your faith literally has saved you, or your faith has made you well, what he's saying to them is, it's not because you've had so much faith, some kind of faith thing that I believed, and because I believe somehow it's happened. That's not really what he's saying here. He's saying, because I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because I'm about to go to the cross and I'm about to defeat Satan on your behalf, I'm going to raise from the dead, and I'm going to change history forever. The very fact that you as a leper are putting your trust in me, that I am your faith, I am the one you look to. I am the answer to every problem you have. I am the one, because he said, your faith has made you well. It's like, your faith in me is the Alpha and Omega. Your faith in me is the one who is and who was and who is to come. That's why your faith has made you well. You're overwhelmed today. You got stuff happening in your life. Put your faith in him, and your faith will make you well. Your faith in him, not faith in your own ability or faith, will save you. You will be saved because the Spirit of God, because you put your faith and your trust in the one who can meet you where nobody else can meet you, can touch you in a way that nobody else can touch you, can get you over the hump like nobody else. No matter what I've been through in life, I know there's sometimes there's nobody I can talk to that understands my plight. But Jesus understands my plight. He understands what I'm going through. He understands the pressures that I feel. I may not understand what you go through. I may not understand what pressures that you feel. But I know that he does. And he told those lepers, go. And as they were going, they were healed when they cried out to him. We need to do that with Jesus. You know, one other thing, one final thought here before I sum it all up. One thing that I learned, and it started learning this in college, was how to believe God for time. I've always taught, you know, you believe God for money, you trust God for your health, the physical challenges, but to believe God for time to get everything done was something that was a concept I never even thought about until I had to walk through it myself. Having faith for time. When I was in college, I was learning that as I was working part-time, going to college, trying to serve God, be a Christian. And I began to see it more and more when I was in seminary for 6 years, part-time. And I was married, had children, full-time associate pastor, had so much going on. And I would look at I would open up the curriculum for that semester with two graduate level classes, and I would just feel overwhelmed. I'm sure many of you students feel the same way. Overwhelmed. I'm like, how am I going to do all of this without my wife leaving me and my kids hating me? But you know, God would give me time. I had to give up some stuff. I had to give up watching sports. I had to give up watching shows, right? I mean, things that I had to give up in order to do that. I gave up some sleep. I had a lot of sleep deprivation for 6 years. I mean, I had to give it up because I didn't want my children to suffer for it. But I learned that I had to trust God for time. And when I had something really big due, that Hebrew test that was coming up that I was freaking out about, God would work it out where somehow I just had 3 or 4 hours that I could study. Or I wasn't as tired that night and I could actually not fall asleep at the table at 12 o'clock at night. Or I could get through things, and I learned to trust God for time. You know, we've got to have faith in God. Not only for all the stuff those lepers went through, but we've got to have trust that God is going to give us the ability to get it all done and not burn out. Trust in him for time. So in conclusion, what did the lepers do in summation? They reached out to Jesus. They cried out to Jesus. Jesus, have mercy on us. If you need to say, Jesus, have mercy on me today, say it when we pray at the end. Jesus, have mercy on me. Whether it be physical struggles, or whether it be emotional struggles, financial struggles, just overwhelmed with life right now. Everything's happening to me. Cry out for his mercy. Then be obedient to do as he says. If there's any changes you need to make, be obedient to do as he says for you to do. And then don't give up and quit. It says they were cleansed as they went. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep moving. Keep doing what God's called you to do. And then he went to the people of God. Go to church. Get in your small group. Don't forsake the people that can strengthen you and help you make it through the day. And then be thankful. Be thankful for the God who loves you, who died on the cross for you, who will help you get through this. And finally, have faith to believe in him. There's an aspect of our lives that faith has got to be a part of. Not faith in ourselves or our abilities, but faith in Jesus. Faith and trust in Him that He's going to make us have the time. He's going to get it done. We're going to make it all come about. And He's going to help us make it through all the stresses and all the responsibilities that we have as people here in America and the stresses that we feel. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you this morning. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just this morning, Lord. Just as those 10 lepers, Father, cried out to you, we cry out to you. We ask for your mercy. Just as they were obedient to follow after your word, to do as you said, Lord, we look at that and we say, thank you, Jesus. Just as he sent them but to get back into the synagogue, to get back to the church, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you did that as well. I ask you, Lord Jesus, for every person today who's going through it this morning. They're overwhelmed. They're stressed out. They seem like they got more to do than they can get all done in a day. They got so much going on. They're just overwhelmed trying to figure out how to make it all happen. And on top of that, get rest in the middle of all that. God, I know that you're the God of all time. You're the God who can give us the grace to make it through every situation. In every challenge. If you're here today and you say, I need to cry out for Jesus' mercy this morning, raise your hand. Just say, I need Jesus. I need mercy this morning. Thank you, Jesus. All these people, all these hands around saying they need mercy. They cried out Jesus for his mercy. You can put your hands down. A lot of people this morning need mercy. Lord, I cry out to you for mercy. I cry out to you for help. Just like those lepers did, Lord. I cry out to you for help this morning. I cry out to you and say, Lord, I have faith in you that you're going to make it all happen. You're going to get me through it and get me over it, Lord Jesus. All those people to raise their hand this morning, let there be a faith that would well up in them. Lord, let them know that you're with them, that just as you answered the prayers of those lepers, you're going to answer their prayers, that they keep their faith in you and they keep their trust in you, that it all will work out. It'll all come about. And at the end, if they get through that trial, they'll turn around and go, wow, I can't believe I made it through it. But we look to you, Jesus, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.